This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPMRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today, from Houston, Texas, Joan Murray. Now, here's Joan.
Thank you for joining us for our series, Defeating Fear. Our topic tonight is controlled by fear. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I think it is safe to summarize that fear could possibly be the deadliest weapon ever launched against us by the enemy. Fear means dread, timidity, apprehension, alarm, fright. Fear causes us to feel anxious and to worry unnecessarily. Researchers say only 8% of what we worry about ever happens. 92% of what causes us to fear never manifests in our lives. The words "fear not" appear 365 times in the Bible, one for each day. This tells us something. The devil wants us to fear, but God wants us to be free from fear. Some of us have experienced defeat at the hand of fear. Others have been crippled by fear. Still others struggle to combat fear. All of us have the tool to defeat fear. It is the Word of God. Declare with me, I will not fear. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 through 8 reads, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Whenever you are in a battle with fear, you can gain the victory because Jesus has been victorious over the enemy. Here are some areas where we may deal regularly with fear. Fear of sicknesses and diseases, fear of financial lack, the fear of loss or death, fear of being alone, fear of failure, and in some cases, even fear of success. All fear is from the devil, and it is a spirit. Someone came up with this acronym for fear: false evidence appearing real. It feels real, but it is not real. Fear will take you to any destination you allow it to. Let me say that again. Fear will take you to any destination you allow it to. The key to victory over fear is to do what Jesus did and speak the word of God to fear. You remember the incident on September the 11th? Shortly after that massive incident, I was scheduled to fly out on a trip for work. And right after that incident, and a day or two before I traveled, another plane was blown up because it was too close to the tailwind of the plane before it. On the way to the airport, I was gripped with fear. And along my journey, I was praying and God was trying to speak to me, was trying to calm me down about the fear and not to be anxious. And so by the time we boarded the plane, I like takeoff. I don't really care for landing. We boarded the plane. There was a gentleman that was sitting beside me. And I would say that about four times before the plane took off, he got up and went to the restroom, which fed into my fear. So as we began taxiing down the runway, my heart began to beat furiously with fear. And it got so severe that God had to shout in my ears to get a hold of my fear before it gave me a heart attack. The fear had gripped me so severely that God had to say to me, "You will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." So even as I'm teaching this message, it's years later and I'm still here. So you know that plane did not crash, but the fear that was built up in my mind caused me to feel as if the plane was going to crash. We have got to get a hold of our fear before it destroys our lives. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 32? And I'm going to take you to verse 8 through verse 11. Genesis chapter 32, verse 8 through verse 11. He said, he thought, if Isaac comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. Most of us have heard this story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob plotted with his mother to steal Esau's birthright. What Jacob did not know was that even though Esau was the oldest and the birthright was rightfully his, God had already decided that he, Jacob, would be the one to carry on this lineage. There was no need to trick his brother to get the birthright, since it was already assigned to him by God. Jacob's name means supplanter and trickster. He left home to save his life, afraid that Esau would harm him. His mother also felt fear that Jacob would be harmed. What Rebekah did not know is that she would die before Jacob returned to his homeland. It was 21 years later when Jacob returned home. Many scholars believe she died before Jacob returned, so she missed 21 years with her favorite son because of what they did. Lying and cheating caused Jacob to be on the run for fear of losing his life. He ended up living with his uncle Laban, who was just as much a trickster as himself. You know the story. He worked for Rachel for 7 years, and then Laban gave him Leah. Then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And so even as he served Laban, Laban did not deal with him rightly. When Jacob met the angel of the Lord, he was given some promises about his future, but fear still had a grip in his heart as he prepared to return home. I want to share some of the promises God gave him before he met his uncle Laban. Genesis 28, verses 13 through 15. It says, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised you. So the Lord gave him some amazing promises. And one of the ones that really stood out to me was the Lord said to him, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land that you are lying on, God promised to give it to his offspring. Even with these promises, he had fear that Esau would harm him. So he began to plot how to get around Esau instead of facing his fear and asking God for help as he prepared to return home and to face Esau. He had plotted with his mother to steal Esau's birthright. Now he's plotting how to get Esau to receive him home graciously. This sounds a bit like some of us trying to work out our own plans in an attempt to combat any fears we may be experiencing. The only way to combat fear is to face it head on and do battle against it. And Jacob was challenged in how to handle his fear as he prepared to face Esau. I want to take you to Genesis 32, verse 13, and I want you to show you what the scripture said he did. It said, he spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 elam and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds. So he's preparing now to meet Esau. And he begins to plot what he could do to pacify him. When we are overcome with fear, it is hard to think clearly and harder still to hear God. But in spite of his fear, it was Jacob who took the initiative to go home and to face Esau. So he looked at what he was facing, but he still made the decision that it was time to go home and to face his fear. So as he prepared to meet Esau, he did the most important thing. He prayed and reminded God of his promises to him. He acknowledged his unworthiness. He acknowledged God's kindness and faithfulness to him throughout all the years he was away from home. He reminded God of his word, that God promised that he would prosper him, and God had done exactly what he promised. He asked God to save him. He was not only afraid for himself, but for his wife and for his children. After this intense prayer, Jacob then began to hatch this plan. What I want you to see, he prayed, but he still doubted. Sounds familiar? Many times we pray and we ask God for many things, but we really still doubt. The longer we wait, the more we doubt whether God is going to manifest the things for which we have prayed. He sought God, yet it appeared that he did not accept the reassurance that God had this under control. So he put his own plan into action. His plan? To give Esau gifts of approximately 580 animals. So he sent his servants ahead of him with these elaborate instructions as he prepared to meet Esau. Having done everything in his own strength, he spent the night at the camp. It appears that Jacob felt he had done all that was necessary, but he did not consider what God still had yet to do in his life. He does not seem to be aware that God was after his heart. He sends his wife and children ahead of him and was now entirely alone with God. The moment Jacob was alone, God showed up to do a deep cleansing work in his heart. God will often deal with the issues of our hearts when we are alone with him. Why? Because it's personal. God does not want to expose our hidden struggles, our fear, our shame. He wants to teach us how to be victorious over them. So when he begins to deal with the issues of our hearts, he deals with them in private. God does not want to expose us at all. And so he begins to deal with the Jacob's issue that he had with fear and with all the other issues that were in his heart. Jacob's day of reckoning and deliverance had come. Why? Because he could not ultimately become the person he was created to be without God humbling him and remaking him into something better. God is pursuing all of us so that he can remake us into the image of his son. So while Jacob was alone, it was time to deal with his nature, and it was time to deal with his character. The scripture says a man, an angel, wrestled with Jacob. Researchers say it was Jesus himself who wrestled with Jacob. So let me explain this. Why did the angel wrestle with Jacob instead of speaking to him? I believe because God recognized that Jacob could or would not hear him because he was in such a severe grip of fear. The word wrestle means to struggle, to grapple. He was striving against the angel. The angel could not overpower Jacob. That truly is an amazing statement when you consider who he was wrestling with and how strong they were. This powerful being could not get free from Jacob's grip. So he touched his hip. He did not hit it. He simply touched it and his hip was wrenched. Now imagine that. He just touched it and it caused that to happen, yet he could not get away from Jacob's grip. The angel said, "Let me go because it's daybreak." The grip Jacob had on the angel was so strong that the angel had to ask to be relieved. We must remember this. Many times we hear stories of human beings who have supernatural strength when they're facing a crisis. Jacob was facing a crisis in his life, and his grip on the angel demonstrates to us how severe his fear was, how deep this crisis was to him. And so his hold was unbelievable because he was afraid of what he was going to face when he faced his brother. He recognized that a change was needed in his life. And so he told the angel, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He had wrestled all night long and he did not realize who he was wrestling against until daybreak. Jacob finally stopped wrestling and yielded to God. We don't get anything from struggling with God and from resisting him. How we receive our blessings from God is when we humble ourselves and when we surrender to him. And Jacob learned this. When he stopped wrestling, when he stopped struggling, then he was able to receive that which God wanted to bless him with. When he asked God to bless him, I don't believe he was asking for things. He had those. Remember, God had given him a tremendous family and great wealth. What blessings do you think he was asking for? Remember, he was dealing with great fear as he prepared to meet Esau. So maybe he was asking for deliverance from fear. Maybe he was fearful he would lose his life when he faced his brother. Maybe he was asking for peace in his life. He had gone for 21 years and had not lived in the best of environment with his uncle. And maybe he was after some peace after that tremendous season of his life. Jacob needed something that had more eternal value. He needed God to take over and rule his life. The angel asked an interesting question. What is your name? Your name in that century meant something. It spoke of the nature and character of the person. His name, Jacob, meant supplanter, trickster, and it had truly been his nature, but it was not who he was created to be. In order to truly become who he was created to be, he needed a new name. He needed a change. The angel renamed him Israel. His name, Israel, means he who prevails victoriously with God. Other meanings, God rules, God fights, or God contends. God and not Jacob would now be in control of his life. In changing his name from Jacob to Israel, God allowed him to strive. He fought and he overcame his old nature. His old name, Jacob, supplanter, was supplanted in that intense fight. And he moved into a new phase of his life, blessed, but also humbled because of his limp. God marked him. He stamped him. For the rest of his life, he would remember that God encounter. This, I believe, would keep him from returning to his old self. This would let him know God was always in control of his life. In Phanuel, Jacob met God and was forever changed. Phanuel means the face of God. Jacob met God face to face, and God radically changed his life. In Genesis 33, we see what happens. After all the great fear and all the planning and plotting Jacob did, he now meets Esau face to face. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. Jacob had worried and feared for nothing. Esau had changed over the years, and he was gracious and loving and thoughtful. He offered to travel with Jacob, but Jacob refused his help or the help of the men that Esau offered. He still had some fears. He told Esau that he and his children would travel slowly and see him in Mount Seir. Esau left, and Jacob, with a last flash of his old deceitful nature, did not go to meet Esau, but settled in Succoth. It is evident God still had work to do in him. God still had work to do to refine his life, to refine his character, and to refine the things that motivated him. All that fear that was built up in his heart as he prepared to face his brother produced nothing. Because I said to you earlier, the things that we fear, only 8% of what we fear will ever happen to us in our lifetime. So all that fear that had built up in Jacob came to naught, because when Esau saw him, Esau was overcome with love. Esau had moved on, and God was now in control of that situation. As I close, when Jacob realized that Esau did not mean him any harm or wanted his gifts, he said something profound. To see your face is like seeing the face of God. And Phanuel, Jacob saw God face to face, and his life was spared. When he saw Esau face to face and his life was spared, he was reminded of what God had done for him. Don't let fear, false evidence that appears real, that looks real, that feels real, but is not real. Don't let fear cause you to miss all the great things that God wants to do in your life. In the presence of God, fear will always vanish. Faith, trust in God, is more powerful than any fear you might be facing. Fear is from the devil. Faith is from God. What's causing you to feel fear today? You can choose to live in faith and not in fear. You have 365 fear nots. that when you declare them over your life, will nullify the effects of fear in your life once and for all. Keep speaking them until they become real to you. I challenge you, don't allow fear to dominate you. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if it is a challenge in your health, if it is a challenge in your finances, if it is a challenge on the job, whatever the fear is that's trying to take a hold of your life, whatever the fear is that's trying to grip you, I encourage you today to let go of that fear, hold on to God, and know that God will give you the victory every single time as you begin to declare his word. Let me pray over you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I come and I pray over every single person who's listened to this message today. All of us at various times in our lives have been gripped with fear. I plead the blood of Jesus over them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. You said we can decree a thing over them, and it is so. We decree, God, that you would break the spirit of fear off of their lives, the fear that has gripped them, the fear that's causing them to live in torment. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We ask you to give them hope. We ask you to give them courage. We ask you to give them strength as they face their fears from day to day. I thank you that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. So, Father, we speak to fear right now, and we command it to leave their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, would you surround them with your peace? Would you remind them that you love them and that you have greatness in store for their lives? We thank you that you who have begun this good work in them, that you're faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We decree them heal, we decree them whole, and we decree them free from fear. We thank you for your many, many promises of being with us so that we can overcome every fear that we might face. We give you praise for it, Lord.
You have been listening to Joan Murray on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Thanks for listening.
This is Dale Gentry, President and Founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. 18 hours of continuous preaching being heard across America and around the globe here on your internet prayer station. For a complete listing of all of our preachers each Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And if you would like to minister every Sunday on Preaching Sunday, you can contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's Rick Gentry at bpnradio@gmail.com. Or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. 214-918-8707. Or if you would like to sponsor one of our young preachers on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com, you can call Rick Gentry with the above information. Stay tuned for another sermon here on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com.